بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، ما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and brothers, we praise Allah and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the great wealth of Iman. Really, this wealth of Iman is not something because of our own intelligence. We are people of Iman. There are many people in the dunya who are very intelligent as far as the dunya is concerned. They may have excelled in many, many things. They may design things. They may engineer things. They may be doctors. They may be lawyers and so on. But as far as Iman is concerned, they are blind as far as this aspect is concerned. The blindness is not the blindness of intelligence. The blindness is the blindness of the heart. And that is a gift that Allah gives a person. He gives whosoever He wishes. Allah gave us that gift. And we have to thank Allah for that. A person who is intelligent in dunya is worshipping a stone or worshipping an idol, worshipping something that he made with his own hands. He painted it with his hands. He put it to dry out in the sun. He put food in front of it. Never did that idol eat that food, ever. And yet he's putting, and if that idol had to eat that food, if that statue had to eat the food, that would even be worse. Because that means you need to feed your God. That doesn't make no sense at all in the world. So Allah saved us from that. So so-called intelligent people, and not one and two and hundreds and thousands, but billions of people are doing this. That they worship created things. Billions of people are worshipping animals and stones and idols and created things. We cannot worship this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the nur of Iman, that Allah made us understand that we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That being who's not created, is the creator, is not the created. Not created by anybody, not in need of anybody. So Allah blessed us with that Iman. Now we have to look after that Iman, and we have to live with that Iman just till maut. We have to make it till maut, till that bridge. Once we pass that bridge, then a person doesn't fail after that. If he fails now, before maut. If he pass that bridge with maut, then he's sorted out. That's why you don't find ahkamat, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, or the Quran al-Kareem instructing us, or the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructing us what to do in the qabr, what to do on the day of qiyamah. Don't forget to do this, don't do this. This, you don't find these commands. The commands are all given to us, what we have to do now. If we do what we're supposed to do now, then everything else is sorted out after that. Then we don't have to worry about what to say, what to remember, what to do. That will be there. When the angels ask the questions, if a person had Iman in this world, he'll be able to answer the questions in the qabr. If a person had Iman in this world, on the day of Qiyamah, he gets sorted out. But if here a person failed, then there he can't remember that now I need to say this, now I need to do this, now I need to go here. There's no commands given to us for that time. The commands are all for this world. And so we have to look after our Iman, protect our Iman. This was the wasiyat and this was the lessons of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim. Wa wassa biha Ibrahimu banihi wa Ya'qub. Ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-din, fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about two Anbiya who are talking to their children, giving wasiyat. What are they saying? Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ya'qub alayhi salam. Oh my children, oh my son, my beloved child. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. Allah has chosen deen for you. Now what you have to do, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Make sure you don't die, except that you die as a Muslim. Make sure you die with Iman, make sure you die as a Muslim. Look after it until that point. This is the wasiyat of Anbiya to their children, to say, make sure, Allah has given you something. We have to ourselves understand it, we have to teach our children the same lessons. That we've got Iman, we've got Islam, let's preserve it, look after it, till maut we have to preserve it. Make sure, we just have to pass that bridge. That a person left this world with Iman, then he's successful. Until that point, we always have to worry because there's one enemy behind us. Who's that enemy? Inna shaitana lakum aduwa. Shaitan is your enemy. So take him as an enemy. He's after us to steal our iman. How he wants to steal our iman? First he'll try to take us away from those things which are mustahabbat. If a person haven't got mustahabbat in his life, shaitan is trying to make him become lazy and make him neglect the sunnah. Leave out the sunnah. It's only sunnah. Leave it out. But a person leaves out the sunnah, then shaitan's attack is on faraiz. Now salat is going, zakat is outstanding, roza goes by. All the faraiz of deen are being left out. And when that is left out in our life, there's a weakness in our defense. Now shaitan is directly attacking the iman of a person to destroy the iman and snatch the iman of a person away. So all these, like just like a king, he's got his bodyguards and he's got his building and he's got the security outside and all these measures to protect him. So the enemy cannot reach him. Why? Because of all these measures in place. So these are like the faraid and then the sunan and then the mustahabbat, etc. All this is the protection of what? Of the king, which is that iman. This is the most important thing. So we have to make an effort to look after that iman. How to look after that iman? Look after our environment. Look after what we look at. Look after what we hear. Look after what we speak. And learn to speak about Allah subhanahu. Every day of our life, we should learn to speak about Allah. It should not be difficult to speak about Allah. Allah is telling us about Himself. If many of you must have seen it, there's some Quran Karim that are printed. I've seen it like this. The Quran is printed in black ink, but wherever the word Allah appears, they printed it in red. Or Ilah, or Rabb, or any other pronoun that is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they printed it in red. I've seen one of these Qurans. Maybe you have seen it also some places. You find this Quran. If you take that Quran and you page through it, or you look at any Quran for that matter, see how many times Allah speaks about Himself. Every page Allah's name is appearing. Every page. One time, two times, three times, four times, and so many times. The main subject of the Quran Kareem, Allah is telling us about who is Allah. What did Allah do? Who is Allah? What is His qualities? His qudrat, His power, His treasures, His doings. Allah is telling us about Himself. And Allah is telling us that look in the heavens and the earth. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creations of the heavens and the earth and the changing of the day and the night. For people of intelligence, there are signs. All this didn't just happen like that. It's not running so smoothly just like that. Everything has got something that is telling us about. Is telling us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These ayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite them when he used to wake up for tahajjud salah. He used to recite. It's about two pages of the Quran that just before Suratul Nisa. Surah Ali Imran's the last two pages before Suratul Nisa, the last two pages of Surah Ali Imran, Rasulullah sallallahu used to recite it. In one narration it is mentioned about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He woke up for tahajjud, he recited this ayat, he performed this tahajjud, and he would go take rest again. Then again he would wake up, again he recited this ayat, again he performed tahajjud salat, again after performing tahajjud salat he went to go sleep. Again he woke up for the third time, again he recited this ayat, again he performed tahajjud salat, and then this is how he passed the night. Three times in this narration, three times Rasulullah SAW recited these two pages of the Quran. Allah give us tawfiq, at least once we should take it, we should recite these pages of the Quran, recite this ayat of the Quran. There's many, many duas also in there. And these ayat are directing us and telling us, you have intelligence, ponder on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can ponder about the being of Allah, it's beyond our imagination. One student asked his ustad that explain to me who is Allah. I want to understand Allah. So he took him at the beach and the sea sand and he told him make a hole here. So he made a hole. And he told him, show me, can you fit all the sea water into this hole? He said, no, the sea water can't fit in this hole. This hole is so small, this ocean is so big. So the ustad explained to the student that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than the ocean and your brain is smaller than the hole that you made. Like how that water can't fit in this little hole, the same way you'll never be able to comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to the zat and the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one of us can comprehend. But what we can do is Allah wants us to look in all His creation and ponder about the qudrat of Allah. Realize Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than everyone and everything. Allah is greater than what we can imagine also. And that should bring us to the point that I have to live my life in obedience to Allah. This is what Allah is asking me. Live a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give up our own desire and see what is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make us understand, look, one side we have to use our aql. There are many people in this world, they are not using their intelligence. That's why they are worshipping stones and animals and creatures and they worship their ancestors and they worship all these things. They haven't used their aql. So we have to use our aql also. But also, we don't only depend on aqal. There are many things that are beyond our own intelligence. The being of Allah, what is qabr, what is akhirat, what will happen, jannat in jannat, what will help us there, what won't help us there, they, our aqal can't work it out. We want to do research in this dunya to find out what's going to happen in akhirat, is impossible. For this, we have to go to what? We have to go to what Allah, to who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to us to teach us this. In our case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us all the aspects of the akhirat. What will help us in akhirat? What will be beneficial to us? What will be harmful to us? He showed us all these things. Here we can't try to use our aqal. There, our aqal will fail us. This is because it's beyond the intelligence of a human being. Somebody says, whatever you're telling me, I want to do research about it. You can't do research about it. It's a different world. The khabar is a different world. Akhirat barzakh is a different world. Qiyamah is a different world. And you want to do research here. You can't do research here about something which is happening. It's like a baby in the womb of the mother says, I want to do research. You're telling me there's aeroplanes and there's trains and there's computers. Let me do research in the womb. I can't find any of the things you are talking about. Of course you can't find any of the things. There's no computer in the womb of the mother. There's no trains and planes and computers in the womb of the mother. When you come out in this world, you'll find these things. The same way we are in the womb of this dunya and we want to research akhirat, forget about it. We can't do it. We are in a different world. So for that, Allah had mercy on us and He sent Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and He sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us. He made us in the best of ummah. He made us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To make us realize and make and teach us and show us what will help us in the life of akhirah. Where this ruh will go one day when we pass away. And what will be benefit to the ruh and what will be harmful to the ruh. This was taught to us by our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is where we don't start depending on ourselves. We submit ourselves. Islam is what? Islam is submission. Sometimes we find, we say Islam means peace. Islam doesn't mean peace. Yes, the same root words are there. Aslim taslam. You submit, you will find peace. Sin, lam, and mim. The same root words for Islam and the same root words for salam and for peace. It's the same root words. Islam means we submit. Yes, if we submit, we're going to find peace. We'll find peace in the dunya also. We'll find peace in akhirat also. Without Islam, the dunya will become tight for us. The dunya will become a shadow of Jahannam in the dunya. It will become a sample, a small little sample of Jahannam that everybody is fighting with everybody. Everybody will be a nuisance to everybody. Everybody will be a trouble to everybody. The dunya will become tight. That's why Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, we have come to take you people out. Allah has sent us. Hazrat Zubayr ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. When they asked him that, why have you come to our lands? The Sahaba were moving, taking the deen of Islam in the whole world. So say, why have you come here? He said, no, we didn't come. Allah hubtu athana. Allah sent us. Why? لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. To take mankind out of the slavery of man and put man into the slavery of the Rabb of man. To put us into the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ ذِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سِعَتِهَا. And to take man out of the tightness of this world, إِلَىٰ سِعَتِهَا, to its vastness. Without deen, the dunya becomes tight. It becomes difficult. And when deen will be alive, this dunya will become vast. That means there'll be, in this dunya there'll be peace, there'll be ease, there'll be comfort in this world also. So Madina Munawwara became the sample for that. That there was, the whole of Madina looked like one community. Everybody looked after the next person. Everybody worried about his neighbor first. There's an incident of a pious man. Somebody came to him. This pious man was interested. There's a property for sale. I want to buy that property. So while he was interested in that property, the person who was selling it, and he thought the price looks good also, the property is good, I'm interested in buying it. Now that person came to the same buzruk, and he said, I want to make mashara with you. I had some difficulties. I'm thinking of selling this property. Now initially the buzruk thought this is a bargain, it's a good thing to go for, let me buy it. And the same person is coming to take mashwara. Do you think I should sell this thing or not sell this thing? Now if a person is looking at his own interest and his own greed, what he will say? He will say, yeah, sell it. And he'll get his friend to take it and buy it on his behalf because it's my benefit. He doesn't look at the benefit of the next person. But that person who's got, he's got the next person in mind. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu were taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to look for the goodness of everybody. An-nushhi li kulli muslimin. To look for good for every next person. And so, he told him that if I were you, I wouldn't sell that property. Now if the person decides, because he's as honest as you can expect him to be, if it is me, I won't sell it. So, he's not looking at his own personal benefit. A sahabi radiallahu anhu found, he sent his slave to go and buy a, purchase a horse for him. His slave went and came back and said, there's so and so horse available, this is the price. He went to see it. When he went to see it, he asked the person wanted, I think if I remember well, it was 300 dirhams. So the Sahabi said, no, I don't want to pay you 300, I'll give you 400, would you accept 400 for it? So the seller is very happy. I was asking 300, you are offering 400. Of course I'll accept 400. He said, no, I don't think 400. I'll give you 500. Will you take 500? 600? 700? 800? Will you accept 800 dirhams for it? So people are surprised at the Sahabi. Yeah, the man is selling it for 300 dirhams. You got the opportunity. Buy it and take it. He needs the money at this point in time. He said, no. We have taken bayat on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we will look for the goodness of every Muslim. This horse, he may not realize, or maybe he's in difficulty, or maybe he's pressed for money, so he's trying to let it go, but I have to look at his goodness. So we think, outwardly, if you look at it with the eyes of dunya, it's a loss in dunya. But if you look at it with the eyes of iman and akhirat, and the following the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this was success. That they spent little bit extra, but they practiced upon one hadith. They did what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them. The benefit of that horse was for the dunya. 400 dirhams and 500 dirhams would last you in dunya for some time. But the practicing on one ayat of the Quran, one hukam of Allah, one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will last forever and ever and ever. Of course that is better. Wal akhiratu khayru abqa. Akhirat is more better and more everlasting. And so that is what we all have to understand and learn, that our gaze mustn't be towards this dunya. The dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wala tamuddanna 'ainayka ila ma mata'na bihi azwajan minhum. Don't stretch your eyes to what we have given the people of dunya. This is all zahrat al-hayati dunya, the beauties of the life of this world. And why Allah gave it? Linaftinahum fi. This is the imtihan. Do you also want to go into imtihan? Somebody is being tested. Why you want to go into the same test? Don't stretch your eyes to these things. Wal akhiratu khayru wa abqa. Akhirat is more better. Akhirat is everlasting. The dunya is cheap quality and is going to come to an end. Akhirat is the best of qualities and will last forever. So we have to change our iman in yaqeen. The third thing Hazrat Ibn Abi radiallahu anhu said, min jawril adyan ila adlil islam. We want to take man out of the oppression of every other way of life and bring him into the justice of Islam. Such a beautiful deen Allah gave us. This iman, respected brothers, we have to look after it, we have to preserve it, we have to make effort for it, we have to make dua for it. We have to ask Allah. Allah bless us with iman. Look after our iman. Keep us firm on your deen. We find this in the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wa-al-afafa wa-al-ghina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking, Allah, give me guidance. Give me taqwa. Give me chastity. Give me self-sufficiency. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking, Allah, oh Allah, the one who turns hearts, keep my heart firm on your deen. Turn my heart towards your obedience. That's why in the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni as'aluka, Allahumma a'tini imanan la yartad. Oh Allah, give me iman that won't turn away again. Wa yaqeenan laysa ba'dahu kufr. Such yaqeen after which kufr doesn't come. This was the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the tahajjud. He used to make this du'a in the morning. It's found in the Hizbul Azam in the Tuesday section. You can find this du'as where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking for rahmat in all different forms of asking for rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to have, and if we want to see what's our fikr in our heart, what's our concerns in our heart, then all we have to do is see what we're asking Allah for. Our dua is a mirror to tell us what's inside. The desires of the heart, check it ourselves. What am I asking for Allah? I'm asking for dunya, I'm asking for this, that. Am I asking for temporary things? We can ask for the dunya, there's no harm in that. When we make dua, Allah gets happy with us. And when we don't make dua, Allah gets angry with us. Allah is who can? Allah wants to give us. وَعِنْدَهُ خَزَائِنُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has got the treasures of everything. And the treasures are, Allah is not in need of anything. The treasures are for us. Now Allah wants us to ask Him and take from Him. So Allah Pak give us all tawfiq, respected brothers. Let us look after our iman, ask Allah for iman, preserve ourselves, make our home an imani environment. Those things that are destroying our iman come. Today there's fitnas, every window you open a new fitna comes in our home. We have to watch what we read in our house, what we talk in our house, what we do in our house, because all these things are affecting us and affecting our children. The things that we spend our time in are either helping our iman or destroying our iman. I will finish with one incident. Some ulama had been visiting our country some time ago, some good years ago. They were from Canada. So I met them and I saw that the ulama, they have come to our country, they're visiting, they wanted to see different places, see the different institutions, etc. I had the good fortune, I said, come, I'll take you people around. So I went around with them. So we went to Madrasa Zakaria, we went to visit Mufti Reza Ulak Sahab. While we were there, they mentioned one karguzari to him. They say this incident happened in their town, in Canada. They say there was a lady, she was of Turkish origin, and she got married to a Greek man, Christian. The parents were naturally very angry that what happened to our daughter? She ran away, she went away with a Christian man, she wanted to get married to him. How can she live like this? She's living in a life of guna. And it happened a short time later, she passed away. A woman was far away from deen, she passed away. So the parents were very sad, they told the husband, give us the body of our daughter, let us bury her according to Islam. The husband said, because in that country it's cheaper to cremate a body than to bury, the husband said that I've got it written down from her that she wants to be cremated, she doesn't want to be buried. I'm going to cremate her body. And the parents were even more sad, their daughter was being cremated, how sad that was. After some time, all the sadness went, everything happened. The parents or one of them had a dream. The daughter is saying that please save me, I'm in difficulty. So the parents went to the husband and they told him that give us the ashes of that you got of our daughter. Give that to us. We want to bury it now. So he refused. So again some time went and then this husband came to the parents and he told them that I had a dream about my wife and she's expressing that she's in difficulty and I must release her, let go of her. So what do you want to do now? Tell me what you want to do. So that they went to the imam of the masjid with the bottle, with the ashes of a Muslim lady who was cremated. And they said that what we have to do. So the imam said also, what we have to do in such a case? Only thing I can think about, bring that bottle. They made ghusl of the bottle and they wrapped it in a piece of cloth like a kafan. And they went to the Kabristan and they buried it. Thinking that's the only thing. And they read some duas and they did some amal and they buried it in the Muslim Kabristan. So they mentioned this whole incident to Mufti Sahab. I just want to mention what Mufti Sahab said when he heard this whole incident. So Mufti Sahab, it struck me also. Mufti Sahab said, this is the spark of Iman that was inside her, that is still fighting for her najat and still fighting for her salvation. That's what Iman is. That we, even a spark of Iman left her whole life of guna, she was cremated, everything. But still Iman is fighting. She's saying, I'm in difficulty, take me out. That's the Iman that will bring up, take a person out of azab. And give us salvation. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.